Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live on this beautiful Monday morning. I looked at the calendar this morning and I could not believe we are in the final week of July. If you've got young kids and you're probably looking in the next few weeks of them heading back to school and all of that. And it's like, man, I do not know where this summer went. And So get in as much as you can before we get back into, I don't know, quote unquote normal. See, that's what they call it when we head back into September and kind of get back into this normal rhythms of life. We still got a few things planned with our family that we want to do and make happen. So, yeah, but here we are rounding out the final week of July. So again, I hope you are having a good morning. Thank you so much for joining me. And we have also had a great weekend at Hope City Church, rounds out my July preaching sabbatical. So every year, Sarah and I go on sabbatical in July, and not necessarily away from the church, but just from preaching. And it just gives me a time to be able to pull back a little bit and fresh and hear the voice of God. And Brian Willison did an amazing job yesterday, and man, if you didn't hear that message, go back and listen to that because it was powerful. I know it'll encourage your life. And of course, we had baptisms yesterday here at Hope City Church, and that's always a powerful thing to be able to hear what you know, to see. That's a tangible thing, not just hear, but to see what God's doing in the lives of people and see the life change that is happening. And also another cool thing. That I got to share in church yesterday, and I should have grabbed it. It's on the other side of the studio before we started. But yesterday we got a letter and an offering from somebody in Ireland who's watching the programs and enjoying the Pioneer Channel and seeing the life impact that it's bringing to them, and wanted to become a partner and sent in their euros for us to become a partner of the ministry. So. It's just a great reminder that what God's doing here on the Pioneer Channel and the network is literally reaching around the world. And we are always so grateful to have this platform and to see what God is doing. All right. Well, let's open up the Word of God because that's what we like to do. That's what I believe helps us have a good morning and start our week out right. So, I want to start this week by talking about hearing the voice of God. In all my years of pastoring, one of the greatest questions I get is, how do I hear the voice of God? How do I know that it's God speaking to me? How do I know that this is God? And sometimes I feel like we sell the dramatics of how we hear the voice of God, and more that falls on the weight of preachers. But you know, we say things like, well, then God said this to me and God said that to me and I heard God say this, and sometimes it can leave people feeling disillusioned. Well, like, man, they must like be hearing the audible voice of God day in and day out, and how comes I'm not hearing God like that? And it can leave people, believers, feeling like, is something wrong with me? Is God not wanting to talk to me? How comes I am not just walking around and God's just like screaming in my ear all day long, right? And so I think sometimes we've done it an injustice when we just say, well, God said to me. And I understand fully that once you've walked with the Lord and you've done life with the Lord, that, yeah, you can say with pretty much confidence that this is what God is speaking to me. But sometimes aren't communicating how God spoke that to you. And again, I think it's important that we do that to help bring other people along on their journey of hearing the voice of God. You know, for me, I have never tangibly heard an audible voice, right, speaking in my ear, like as you're hearing me speak. There have been 5 times in my life where I've heard a great impression in my heart or my spirit where a phrase or a word or just a knowing kind of was said to me. And I knew that this was the voice of God. Like, again, it wasn't audible, but I just had that inward knowing, hey, good morning, Sue, good to see you. On the inside of me, knowing that this was something that God was speaking to me. Again, it wasn't audible, it was just an inward knowing. But 99.9% of the time, when I'm hearing the voice of God, I have a knowing in my knower, right? But in my spirit or my heart that this is what God would want me to do, or this is the direction. Like, for this week, thinking about, well, Lord, what do you want us to talk about this week? I try to theme these weeks when we do these lives together, and just praying about that. And I didn't walk, into my office and hear the audible voice of God scream, talk about hearing my voice. No, I kind of just sat in silence for a minute and just said, Lord, what is it that you would want to hear? And I just felt this impression that we needed to talk about hearing the voice of God. So I'd like to clarify that when we're talking about hearing the voice of God, because so many people will feel discouraged thinking that there's an elite group of people who have this connection to the voice of God or connection to heaven that's above everyone else's. And they're walking around and Jesus is just whispering in their ear all day long. And you're out here trying to figure out which direction to go, and it seems clouded, right? So I like to say that is, I sometimes think we do an injustice to people when we just continually say, I've heard God say, and not necessarily qualify, well, how did you hear God say? Let's bring other people along in the journey. But here's what I found about God. He created us for communion and not confusion. What I know is that God does want to speak to you. And this is what sets Christianity apart from every other religion, is that God isn't trying to communicate to you through a priest, through something else, through someone else. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the veil that separated the Holy of Holies, which is where the very tangible presence of God dwelled, because it was holy, it could not dwell among men. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn from top to bottom, giving signal to all of humanity that no longer, now because of the shed blood of Jesus, no longer would the presence and tangible part of God have to be hidden away behind a curtain, but now it could be accessed by all mankind. And that's what's different about Christianity, is it's not God in heaven and we're trying to somehow get to him through priests or through sacrifice or through other things, but he made available through the cross an intimate relationship with every single person who calls upon his name. What I found about God is that he not only went to the cross to die for your sins, he went to the cross that he could restore relationship back with you as it was in the Garden of Eden. You think about that, the Bible says that before sin entered the world, that God would just come down and talk to Adam and Eve, just have conversation. Just talk. What's going on? What did you name that one, Adam? What's happening over here? And it was when sin came in that now Adam and Eve, it wasn't even that God separated. It was that Adam and Eve separated. Remember, God came down and said, Adam, where are you at? Right? But what we understand through scripture, and I don't have time to teach on all of this today, but what Jesus did at the cross is to restore humanity back to the original state of affairs as it was in the garden. So when we come to Jesus and we accept the price that he paid on the cross, we are no longer foreigners. We are no longer separated by sin, but now we are restored back to the original state of affairs as it was with Adam in the garden. The curse has been removed that was applied because of sin, right? We talked about this on the live, several months ago, but now, part of the curse was that the land works in opposition. Well, because of the blessing now, the land works in our favor, right? So in all of that, as we receive the blessing, as we, see the curse removed, we should also see restored that communication piece back between God and his people. We're going back to how it was in the garden. If that's how we're called to live, then we are called to communicate with God and hear God and have relationship with God, just as Adam and Eve did in the garden. So why am I saying all this? Why is it important? Because I think it's important that we approach this conversation of hearing the voice of God with the correct understanding that God wants to speak to you, that he died on the cross to restore relationship with you, that he did all of that so that he can communicate and have communion with you. See, because when you approach God as thinking he's some kind of far away deity, way out there, and who am I, and I'm just trying to figure out what his command is for my life, but there's no real intimacy, there's no, what would he want to say to me, right? Then we approach prayer as this begging and petition and pleading with a big mystical God riding on a cloud somewhere, and not understanding that he is just like he was with Adam, coming down and communicating, coming down talking, coming down and having intimacy with us. So now when we have this right understanding and we're talking about hearing the voice of God, it's not us banging on a iron ceiling, right? It's God standing at the door saying, will you listen? I want to talk to you. I want to communicate with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to tell you my thoughts. I want to tell you what you should do with your life. I want to tell you even the most, mundane details of your world. I want to talk to you about them. And when you understand that that's the heart of God towards you, now you can start being in a place where you can start hearing and receiving the voice of God. Because you have a right understanding, you are expecting. It's a whole different thing. If I'm trying to go to somebody's house and I'm banging on the door, trying to get them to come out, versus I pull up to somebody's house and they're waiting at the door with anticipation. And like before I can even get the car in park, they're running out the door, right? To talk with me and be like, oh my gosh, right? That's how God is. I've often said that, is that God just leaves. All he wants is just a little bit of an open door. Just act halfway like you want him, and man, he will come rushing in. So when it comes to hearing the voice of God, I want us to have a right understanding where we're not perceiving it in the terms of begging God to speak. If we're lucky, we will have the direction of God. No. God wants to be involved in the intimate, mundane details of your life. He wants to do life with you. Right? So God wants to speak with you. Let's just start there. He wants to speak with you. You get nothing else from today's teaching. I want you to walk away knowing that and just saying that to yourself. God wants to speak to me. He wants to speak to me. That's his heart. He wants to speak to me. And when you believe that and you begin to say that and that becomes a reality, now you're opening yourself up to hearing, to listening, because I know it's his heart. I know it's his desire. I know it's what he wants. So now I'm opening myself up. God, is that you? Are you speaking to me? Right? You're positioned to hear when he's speaking if you believe that he actually wants to speak to you, right? So you can learn to recognize his voice just like sheep recognize their shepherd. I say that because that's what John 10 verse 3 talks to us about. When it says about hearing the voice of God, it says the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep recognize his voice. Come on. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him. Listen, because they know his voice. Verse goes on to say, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. That's the New Living Translation. The more traditional is, my sheep will know my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow, right? My sheep know my voice and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. That is how God is wanting you and I to live, that we know that we know that we know and that we've heard his voice, that he is speaking to us, that he is communicating with us, right? We're learning. So again, we have to approach this with a mindset. It's not that God isn't speaking. If we're not hearing him, it's that we aren't listening, or we're not tuned in, or we haven't learned how to listen to the voice of God. It's never that God's not speaking, right? It's always on us, our part. We're not hearing. It's not that God stopped speaking. It's that we're not hearing. So know that God is speaking. I mean, your Bible starts, right? Genesis 1, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Everything begins with his voice. Think about that for a minute. God didn't create with his hands. He created with his word, with his voice. Hebrews 1 says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. What is that saying? Yep, God spoke in the beginning. And in these final days, he's still speaking to us. He's still speaking to us. So God's nature is communicative. His desire is communication. Again, go back to the garden. That's what his desire was. You think, I mean, even his mission to the cross was what? For restored fellowship with his creation. He wanted to commune with us. He went to the cross and died because he so desired communication. He so desired us. So just as he spoke to Adam in the garden, the Bible says he would walk with Enoch. He called Abraham out. He dialogued on the mountain with Moses. He spoke through the prophets, through dreams. He spoke through donkeys. He spoke through angels. He spoke through burning bushes, right? What did he do all through scripture? It's a story of God speaking to his people. And that has not changed. Now, the difference between Old Testament and New Testament is the introduction to the Holy Spirit to all mankind. So in the Old Testament, yes, the Holy Spirit could come for specific reasons, but to hear the voice of God, God had to bring an angel, send a burning bush. Now we have greater than what Moses has, greater than what Enoch and Abraham and Adam. Now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, never leaving. He's in there, right? So we have God speaking still to humanity. I heard this old saying that to believe that God is silent is to deny the very essence of his being. To believe that God is silent is to deny the very essence of his being. That's who God is. He's a communicator. He's a fellowship man wanting to do life with his people, speaking to the heart of his people. So in this verse of scripture, Jesus relates that relationship of a sheep and a shepherd. And I believe he does that on purpose, right? He doesn't say, my employees hear my policies. He doesn't say, my, you know, slaves know my commands. No, but he says, my sheep hear my voice. Which, how relationship is that? My sheep know my voice. The ones that I guide, the ones that I protect, the ones that I lead into greener pastures, hear my voice. It's not robotic. It's not mechanical. It's not authoritative. It's my sheep, those who follow me, those who I have given my life to protect and entrust over. They know me. They know my voice. Listen, here's the thing about sheep, though, is they are certainly not known for their level of intelligence, right? Sheep are very vulnerable. They survive primarily through trust and nearness of their shepherd. Sheep can very easily be led astray. The only way that they survive is because they have a good shepherd who stays close and who stays near. And as long as they are connected and close to the shepherd, they survive. So they learn the shepherd's voice how? Through daily contact. Daily contact. You know, I read this somewhere, but it said in Middle Eastern culture, flocks would mingle together, but at the single call of the shepherd, each flock would follow their own shepherd by just following their voice. Because you have to understand, it wasn't just, you know, they weren't watching these sheep via drones, right? Cameras in the field. These shepherds literally lived with the sheep in the field. They slept with them. They ate with them. They, you know, they were there 24/7. Why? Because the moment they walked away, these sheep would go astray. A bear, a lion, something could come in and attack them. So these shepherds literally lived with their sheep. So they knew the voice of their shepherd. Why? Because of proximity, because of how close they were to the shepherd, and because of how often they heard him. Isn't that just like Isaiah 43:1 that says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Just like that great shepherd will call and the sheep will follow. He calls us by name. He doesn't just speak to the crowd, but he speaks to you by name. And again, that brings me back to my first point, is that hearing him starts with realizing that he's speaking to you. He wants to speak to you, and realizing that you personally, individually are known by God. You hear the commentary that, you know, God's got bigger problems than me and worrying about my situation, right? Like, you know, he's got the prayers of world hunger and, you know, nations and all of that other stuff. He doesn't care. Your Bible would speak the opposite. It says he knows the very number of hairs that rest upon your head at any given time of day. Your Bible says that he knows every single tear that falls from your eye. Your Bible would say that before you could ever form his name on your mouth to speak it out, he's already there. He's heard and he's come. Again, I didn't write that. That wasn't the nature of God, then he wouldn't have said it. So realizing that God wants to speak to you, that he is speaking to you, and that you are known by him opens the door to this amazing relationship where you can hear and know and be led by the voice of God, and the voice of another, you will not follow. And any parent knows exactly what I'm talking about with this, right? Like, if like in our house, you know, we've got four kids, fifth one on the way, and I can hear the screams from down the hall, you know, of kids fighting and all of that. But the moment one of them lets out a hurt cry, come on, parents, you know what I'm talking about. Me and mom come running. Why? Because I know their voice. I know the sound of them fighting. I know the sound of a temper tantrum, and I know the difference between when they're hurt. Right? Why? Nobody else would know that, but because as a parent, we do life in proximity. And when you begin to do life with Jesus, that's how it becomes. Again, John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they followed me. You were designed to hear him. Now listen, some would believe, well, yeah, maybe pastors can hear God like that. Maybe, you know, if I was a prophet, I could hear God like that. Listen, Romans 8:14, all means all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So what is he saying? Not just those who work in a church, not just those who have a public speaking gift, not just those who are on a platform, but all who are led by the Spirit of God. You are the children of God. Therefore, God is speaking and wants you to hear what he would say to you. Again, that's what separates Christianity, is that we serve a resurrected Savior who is alive and well and speaking. Like, there's that old song that came out in the early 2000s by Nicole C. Mullen called Redeemer. And I know my Redeemer lives. But I think one of the most powerful parts of that song is towards the end, and they're kind of repeating the chorus, and she kind of ad-libs it, but she says, I know that I know that I know my Redeemer lives. And she ad-libs it, lives in there, because I spoke to him this morning. I always love that part of the song, because it's like, when you begin to hear the voice of God and you begin to know that he's speaking to you, and again, sometimes he might speak to you in an audible voice, but most of the time it's just that I know this is what he's leading me to do. I know this is the direction of God. I feel that this is God. You begin to know that and trust that and recognize that as the voice of God. When that begins to happen, there's not one demon of hell that can get you off track. There's not one person that can get you to believe that God's not real, speaking, active, alive, and well. Why? Because I spoke to him this morning. Come on. I heard him this morning. I know he's with me now. It's those who have never developed and cultivated that relationship with Jesus where they're tuned in to hear his voice that can be led astray by another shepherd. Why? Because they've never learned to follow the voice of God. So now the enemy comes in and says, well, is your shepherd even real? Is your shepherd even there? How do you know? And most of us would say, well, because I spoke with him this morning. I checked in. He's still there, still on path. It's still happening. But to those who have never tuned in to hear, developed hearing, and I use that word developed hearing because I believe that that's exactly what it is. Sometimes it takes development in the life of a believer to recognize what is emotion, what is flesh, what is circumstance, and what is that still small voice of God speaking to our hearts. So the same spirit that speaks to pastors, prophets, evangelists, TV preachers is the same Holy Spirit that is speaking to you. Now we got to get this right, because I've also seen a lot of lives shipwrecked because people have believed God's speaking something to them. And I don't make it my habit to say, well, that is or isn't God speaking to you, but I can certainly have an opinion sometimes where it's like, listen, I know the character of God and that wasn't him. God's not confused. He doesn't have messy things, you know, so we got to get this right to really walk in spiritual maturity. So again, many people live under that title that I'm not spiritual enough. Oh, I never hear anything, or that's for other people. But here's the truth for you. Hearing God, because you are a child of God, is your birthright. It's your birthright, not a reward for perfection. My children get to live in my house. Why? Because it's their birthright. Like my oldest son, Jeremiah, yesterday. It's funny when you start to see them, thinking through things in their own, like trying to find workarounds. And he had gotten in trouble for a situation that happened and with his sister. And so I told him he was going to lose access to some of his devices because of it. And, I could see he tried to have a conversation with me that says, well, what if I paid for it? Then you wouldn't be able to take it away from me. And this is my 10-year-old. And I said, that's not quite how it works, buddy. Everything under the roof is mine. You're here because it's your birthright to be here, right? Like you were born into this, but understand everything under this roof, like belongs to me, and you have out of my love for you, right? Like, but it can be taken away, but your access to me, that's a birthright thing, right? Like, the PlayStation is reward, but having access to me is birthright, right? So, but it's funny when they get to that age and you start, feel like they're starting to logically think through, you know, how, you know, they can be independent or whatever. But that's the same with God, is right? Like, so yeah, sometimes blessings are applied to our life because, you know, we've been obedient or we have obeyed, but access to God isn't a reward for perfection. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you repent of your sins, you become a child of God, and now it's your birthright to hear from heaven. Oh man, I just got to say that again. It is your birthright to hear from heaven. You don't need to run to every prophet. You don't need to run to every brother and sister in the church to try to hear from them to determine what God is saying to you. It is your birthright to hear from heaven. You were wired for communication from heaven. If that power that dwells on the inside of you was powerful enough to raise Christ Jesus from the dead, it's powerful enough to speak to you. Again, most of the time, it's not that God's not speaking, it's that we're not tuned to hearing. We doubt his voice. Is that God? Is that not good? And we find more comfort in being able to, well, let's just ask a friend. Let's just see what they have to say. Find everybody else's opinion. Try to weigh that to determine, is this or is this not God speaking? But recognizing his voice, as I said, is often developed. It's cultivated. It is a process. Like, look at Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. God called to him 3 times before Samuel finally recognized his voice. Even Eli, the high priest, didn't recognize what was happening immediately. But here's the nature of God. 3 times God kept coming back to Samuel. Samuel. And he's like thinking, did Eli call me? What's happening? Is that God? Is that somebody else? He was in confusion. So finally, he was just like, Lord, is that you? And if it is, speak, because your servant is listening. Voice recognition grows with repetition. I can't tell you how many times, you know, again, because very rarely do we hear an audible voice, is, you know, I'm responding to an email, I'm saying something, I'm doing something, we're in my spirit, where the presence of God dwells, right? Like the spirit of God. I know if I just paused for a second, I would hear clearly, like, no, I'm not, I need to delete the email. I need to pause for a minute. I don't know why, but I don't know that we're to do that yet. I don't know why. I just don't think that's what's supposed to happen. But often in our emotion, we override that still small voice and we just live lives out of our emotion, out of our flesh. But the more you listen to that still small voice, the more you listen to, oh, it's just what I feel like. It's just what I feel like I'm supposed to do. The more you will know it's God and the more you will trust him, the more familiar you'll become, the more comforting and the more distinguishable that voice will be from all others. That doesn't happen that way overnight. And listen, I've often said this, is God doesn't require more faith from you than your past experience with him. So often when you're trying to develop and cultivate to hear the voice of God, we're trying to run to God and like, all right, God, so I've never quite heard your voice before, but I need your direction. And should I move to the other side of the world, you know, and become a missionary and sell everything I have and leave my family or not? Can you speak to me? Like, I think about that. Like, God didn't just say all of a sudden to Moses, hey, go to Pharaoh. Before, you know, he first gave Moses an experience. What was that experience? He talked with him through a burning bush. He gave him a smaller experience that now when Moses had to go stand in front of Pharaoh and Pharaoh said no, Moses could be like, well, did I really hear the voice of God? He could turn back to that burning bush experience and say, but no, I remember it and it was so real. I know God spoke to me and I know this is what he called me to do, right? So sometimes we try to step in and, you know, I'm going to believe God for direction for the most, you know, difficult things in my life. When I haven't first just stepped up and said, Lord, would you begin to speak to me? I'm going to start asking you about the small things. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to begin to cultivate. I'm going to be quiet and still learn to hear that voice. Grow in confidence to hearing the voice of God. When you've missed it, well, don't, you know, sometimes it's like, well, then God told me to do it. Well, no, maybe I missed the voice. I miss the voice of God sometimes. I thought it's what God was asking me to do, and I was just wrong. I wasn't still enough. I didn't wait long enough. I moved out of emotion, and I missed the voice of God. The worst thing you can do is just not take responsibility for missing it and say, oh, I missed it. And, you know, and the worst thing we can do is just say, you know, oh, then that's what God said. What do? We create a bad name for God. We're like, well, God told you to take the job, and then 3 days later, God told you to quit the job. And then God told you to, you know, go work for that place over there. And then, you know, a week later, God wants you to quit. Like, would God be hurting businesses left and right, like putting you in and out, and they pay for you to go through training and, you know, invest into you for a month later for you to walk out the door because, well, God told me. God didn't say nothing to you like that. Well, God doesn't want me to work in this season. Come on, God didn't say that to you. You lost your mind. That's what happened, is you're living out of your flesh and you're just saying, well, God said, because it lets you try to use God as the scapegoat, right? So let's not do that. Let's not be people who create a bad name for God because we are unstable and don't know how to hear his voice right and don't want to take responsibility. The better thing we can do is to go, you know, if we made a wrong decision and went to a job that we shouldn't be at, the best thing we can do is say, listen, I thought I was hearing God, you know, tell me to take this job. Obviously, I didn't, and I missed it here. So I'm going to give you a notice, you know, I don't want to leave you guys high and dry. You know, I'm sorry, you know, that I meant, you know, but take responsibility for your actions, right? And often, you know, too, the enemy will try to mimic the voice of God. That's why discernment matters. So we have to position ourselves to hear clearly. We have to spend time in the Word of God. Again, there's some things in Christian faith that you will never get away from. One of them is being in the Word of God. The Word of God is the language of the Spirit. That's why Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet. If you're not in the Word, you're confused his voice with emotion. This word teaches you the character of God. This word teaches you the nature of God. This word teaches you how God acts, how he responds, how he thinks. Like, again, I just use that as an example. Well, God told me not to work. Okay, well, the Bible says that if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. The Bible says that if you have do not provide for those of your own house, you have denied the faith and are worse than an infidel. And again, I'm just using this as an example. So somebody who would say, well, here's what I heard, the voice of God. Well, then you haven't been in the Word. Because what you're saying you heard God say is in direct opposition to what the Word of God teaches. Are you with me? So the more I would spend time in the Word, if I heard, well, you know, I'll just quit and just trust God. Well, that might sound good and spiritual, but that's not in alignment with what the Word of God says. So anyone who's been in the Word would say, well, no, that's not God because that's not what the Bible teaches. So I'm not hearing, right? So I won't act on that. So spend time in the Word. Number two, quiet the noise. We'll expound a little bit on this more tomorrow, but for today, remember, God whispers, but the world shouts. Intimacy requires stillness. Like, just ask yourself, have I even given God place to speak to me today? Nate commented in that they were watching today from Florida. Like, you know, one of my favorite things to do, especially if you're on the beach, is to spend that time, go out, hear the voice of God. Sometimes, you know, on your vacation, you're in the fast mode, you're trying to get everything in that you want to get in. Say, have I given God place to speak to me today? Number three, journal and reflect. Write down what you hear. Why? Because when you write it down, it sharpens your recognition. It creates a track record of obedience and discernment. Start a God said journal. Like, even, you know, anyone who writes, they can often go back to their early writings and be like, oh man, how bad was that? And sometimes even just in journal, you can go back and say, you know, I wasn't really hearing the voice of God here, but here's how he led me. You can kind of follow the path of God. So let me give you a real quick practical exercise and then we'll get off for today. But ask yourselves this question each morning. Father, what do you want me to know today? Lord, what do you want to speak to me today? Sit in silence for 5 to 10 minutes. Just listen. Turn the music off in your car. Don't speak. Don't pray. Don't petition. Don't request. Just sit in silence 5 to 10 minutes and see if you would hear his voice. Read a chapter of scripture. Meditate on it, because often that's how he talks to us. Write down, like we said, that habit of journaling, impressions, confirmations. And then pray boldly. Say, Father, I know you are wanting to speak to me. I know you are speaking to me. And I am listening. Just tell God, I'm listening. I'm here. I'm present. I want to hear your voice. I'm listening. So if you've been uncertain, if you've been distracted or afraid of missing God's voice, today is the day to return to the shepherd. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you that we are your sheep and we want to hear your voice more clearly. Would you help us to tune out the distractions, the silence, the lies, and train our ears to hear your voice? Holy Spirit, we give you permission to speak into every area of our lives. We will listen and we will follow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, spend that time with the Lord today. Thank you so much for being on with me. It's always an honor to be able to come into your world and share the good news of the gospel. Remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.